Well, Father, thank you for Ruby, for this time that we get to share in together with her. Thank you for what you have placed on her heart to share with us. And we just ask as we still ourselves, as we're quiet before you, that you would speak through her words of encouragement, words of challenge, words that build our faith and remind us of who you were calling us to be. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Okay. Good sound, actually, isn't it? You can hear me? Yeah, cool. Look, I've just got a little favour to ask before I begin. Does anyone live near Rainforth Street? It's in Roslyn, apparently. Anyone live in that sort of direction of town over there? If you do, can you see me at lunchtime? Because I've got a box of pottery that needs dropping off to somebody. I did a workshop with them a few weeks ago, and I said, I'm coming to Palmy. I didn't realise we were going to be way off into the boondocks. So we're not in Palmy. So if anybody is going to be near Rainforth Street, could you just let me know? That would be great. Thank you very much. So it's great to be with you all in this glorious environment. And I just feel today, I just really want to tell my story. So I get to talk about myself for the next, half an hour or so. And as I thought about my story, there's a particular moment that I want to share at the beginning. I don't know if you have some of these times in your life where they kind of expose you. You know, something happens and you kind of think, oh, you're like, that's who I am. And it was one of those moments, and we had shifted into a new area. We were living in Auckland, which we did for about 17 years before we came to Whanganui. And we shifted into this new area. I was working full-time by that stage, and so it would have been a Saturday morning. And, Saturday morning, you're doing the washing. And so, yeah, new area, new neighbours, you're kind of meant to get to know your neighbours. That's the thing, isn't it? So I, knew that that would be a good thing to say hi to the neighbours and all that stuff. And anyway, it was Saturday morning. I'd done the washing and I had this haul of washing. And I stepped out my back door with the washing towards the clothesline. And I saw my neighbour coming out into the back section. I don't know what she was coming out to do, whether it was feed the chooks or hang out her washing, because in 2 seconds flat, I had run back inside. And I got back inside and thought, I really need to just make the beds first. But it was just one of those moments where again I thought, oh, I am such a fail at this relationship stuff. I mean, I'd been a follower of Jesus for nearly 30 years at this point. I had a job where I felt kind of confident and, I was doing some good stuff. I'd even preached some sermons, ran a few Bible studies. I mean, I felt like I was pretty competent as a follower of Jesus. But on this neighbor thing, on this walk towards other people that you may not have met before thing, I'm such a fail at this point in my life. And it wasn't, it wasn't like a surprise, but it was disappointing, I have to say. Now, I had always been someone who had been intensely shy. From my earliest memory, I remember kindergarten, feeling shy with other people. And I was a very shy teenager. And I didn't grow up in a Christian home. And when I first met Jesus and I was 15 years old, and I was so excited, that the God of the universe had noticed me. He'd like called my name and he had filled me with his life and his power. And I was so excited about this incredible new life that I had that for about 6 months, I was quite a confident kind of walk towards other people sort of person. And I told people about this incredible experience I'd had meeting Jesus. It was just so amazing to me. But after about 6 months, my core personality, my shyness, just kind of took right back over again. And that was really disappointing for me. But, you know, I kind of got on with life and I did nursing training because I thought, well, that would be a good thing to sort of get a few skills with people. But, you know, there was quite a few times you'd find me crying in the toilets because I had completely lost my confidence out in the wards. And then, you know, we got married. I also married another really dysfunctional person, which, you know, was really wise. And so, you know, and I started to have babies. And, you know, babies are great. You can hide behind them. It's really great, mums. You're so busy with your kids. You're so tired. Like, there's just no way you can spend time with people. You know, you just need to have a nap. And, you know, the church is a really good place to hide too. You know, you can get really busy in the church. And I did some of that stuff. And, you know, I loved those verses. They're one of my favorite verses. I was thinking the other day is, you know, Colossians 3:2, for I have died and my life is hid with Christ in God. I've always loved that verse because I just love being hidden with Christ in God. It's not so good for your social skills. That's the only thing. And so I'd always been this person who'd kind of nestled into God, but I hadn't been too great at walking across the room. So this moment in my life, and I thought, there we are again. I mean, by this time, we'd also done 10 years in Manila. I mean, I'd been a missionary. I don't know what God was thinking, sending me to Manila, but he seemed to think it was quite a good idea that I would go and live in a slum community where every time I walked outside my door, there were just people teeming everywhere. I tell you, every time I walked outside my door, I was terrified. It was so hard because I couldn't avoid people at all. And they didn't speak my language or anything. They were very gracious to me. But it was a hard time. We'd done 9 years in Manila. And, you know, there was a moment actually when we lost a baby in Manila. And, you know, so I was in a time of grief. There was, you know, some fairly intense grief times. And my neighbours said to Mick, they said, you know, Ruby, she's got a face like a dog that bites. Oh, isn't that tragic? I think the most tragic thing is that he felt he had to share it with me. Like, you know, I already felt bad enough about myself, thanks. Anyway, and I knew that they weren't saying that out of criticism. It's just they saw me. I mean, I was surrounded in neighbours there, and they saw me. They saw who I was. They understood my struggles. They did feel sorry for me. I remember walking outside my door one day, taking my courage in my hands, and there was a big bunch of neighbours sitting outside, and I thought, I'm going to go and sit with the neighbours, you know, and practice my Tagalog and, you know, be a good missionary. And so I went and sat outside, and it was probably about 10 minutes, and it all kind of melted away. I think they just felt awkward. You know, they felt sorry for me and they didn't want to shame me. So they just sort of melted away. So, you know, there were some pretty bad moments in there. And I had come back from Manila in my late 30s feeling a real fail. I was a fail. I was not good with people. And I knew it. And I had wrestled at that point in my life quite deeply with how disappointed it was to be me. You know, I looked in the mirror. I did some of that personality stuff. I think I'm an INTP or something. You know, terrible group of numbers, letters. You know, it's just, you know, it's introvert. I'm just introvert, super. You see me up here, but honestly, I am such an introvert. I mean, there was a party on last night that I was invited to. Mick said, did you want to go? And I'm like, no, I hate parties. You know, like there's all these people. So, you know, I suppose the reminder was at this point in my first story that I was still battling with this thing and that in a way I would always battle. I will always battle because at heart I am someone who just wants to run, even from you nice people. But, you know, I do naturally want to run away. But I knew that I had to keep doing that work. Keep doing that work that Mick talked about. And I did. I've done a lot of hard work. I've done hard work on myself because I thought I really need to understand myself. It's no good spending my life feeling disappointed about the person that God has made me. We are not meant to live that way. And I looked in the mirror and I thought, well, if Lord, you have made me this way, then I must be kind of okay. Like, you tell me that I'm lovable. So I've got to find that lovableness about myself. But the other thing I also thought was that, do you know what? By this time in my life, I knew there was a whole lot of people out there and they were genuinely suffering. You know, people are really struggling with evil, with abandonment, with their hatred of themselves, with loneliness. And I thought, do you know what? I've just got to get over myself. I've got to get over being the person who's so aware of myself in the room that all I'm thinking about actually is myself. I'm so overwhelmed by my own self-consciousness, my own shyness, my own awkwardness. I have just got to get over myself. And the other thing I had learned along the way was, do you know what? Maybe I'm, you know, fairly dysfunctional, but I had learned that most of you are too. You know, we all feel pretty dysfunctional. What the heck? Let's just get on and be dysfunctional together. Let's just be real. And I thought, you know, who do I like hanging out with? I like hanging out with people who are real. Not people who are perfect, but people who are honest. I can be honest. I can be dysfunctional, and I can just be honestly dysfunctional with other people. I like those people, so I thought maybe I can like being dysfunctional too. So I did some hard work around that kind of stuff. I worked on myself. I worked on my understanding of others and what was going on for them, and I worked on that compassion that says, do you know what? The most important person in the room is the other person in the room, not me, not how I feel. But how are they feeling? Who are they? Am I really interested in who they are? Or am I so overwhelmed by my own stuff that I'm not even curious about who the other person is? So I did a lot of good work. And then there came this time a few years ago, and we really seriously felt that the Lord was calling us to shift, to go from Auckland and to shift to Whanganui. And, you know, God called us very clearly in some quite amazing ways, but we didn't know why. I mean, why go to Whanganui? We weren't being called to a role or a job. You know, Mick wasn't being asked to be a pastor. I wasn't being asked to be anything. You know, we both had sort of work and lives that we could do from anywhere. So we thought, why? And I said to Mick, you know, what's on your heart? Why do you reckon the Lord would be calling us to Whanganui? And he said, you know what? He said, you know what? I think we're just meant to go and be neighbours. And I thought, no! I don't want to go to Whanganui just to be a neighbour. Like, you know, give me a job to do. Give me something, you know, that a task. Don't just ask me to be a neighbour. And I said to him, no, you know, it's not my dream to be a neighbour. But again, and you know, like, you might have nailed this at a previous season in your life, but it's like each season of our life, we have to nail this one again. Because we do it differently in different seasons. And I thought, again, in this season, I have to walk towards this thing and nail this thing again of being with others, others I don't know, getting to know new people, being the genuine me, being the dysfunctional me, and not giving a stuff about that, just being with people in a genuine, honest way and being the follower of Jesus that I am with other people. So we went to Whanganui 5 years ago, and I want to tell you a few stories about the last 5 years. So firstly, I decided that as opposed to previous times when we'd shifted to a new neighbourhood, I needed to do that differently this time. And I thought that within the first year, I set myself the challenge of actually knocking on the doors of the neighbours to meet them. It's really easy not to meet your neighbours. It's really easy to not know their names or what they do for a job or what's going on in their life. So easy to just keep busy and think, oh, what the heck, missed them again. So I set myself the task that within the first year I would knock on each door of the neighbours immediately around me. And I did it. And I found it wasn't so scary after all. They actually quite liked the idea that the new neighbour says hi. They probably quite like to meet the person who's been there for 10 years or 20 years, because we all like to know who lives next door if they look kind of okay. So I did that. I actually knocked on everyone's doors and I found that they were quite nice people, really. You know, I actually really enjoy getting to know my neighbours. We held ourselves accountable for this. Mick and I, we set up a few practices when we first went to Whanganui, and one of them, on a Tuesday, we called Neighbour Day. And we looked at each other and we said, have we met the neighbours yet? You know, it's just a question we asked ourselves every Tuesday. Do we need to hang around a bit more outside to meet the neighbours and connect with the neighbours more? You know, and on a Tuesday, that was the day when I said, you know, there's still a neighbour I haven't met and I need to go and knock on the door. And I did it. I did it. Another little story is we started going to a wee church. And it was our local Māori church on the local marae because we wanted to connect with tangata whenua. And so at this little church, which was mostly very, very elderly, we were the youth group. And but it was one of those little churches that you sometimes get... tourists will come along because, you know, they've heard it's a cool little church. And so tourists sometimes pop along to the service. And there was this one day, and at the end of the service, this young woman turned up. And I had learnt to walk towards people. And so I said, oh, hi, where are you from? And she said, oh, I am from France. And she didn't have masses of English, but just enough. And I said, oh, you know, we'll come over and have a cup of tea with us all. And she came over. And I said, so, you know, where have you been in New Zealand? And she told me about that. And I said, you know, what do you do? What do you do in, where do you live? She said, oh, in Paris. I said, what do you do in Paris? And she said, oh, I was working in HR. And then she looked at me and her eyes filled with tears. And she said, but now, she said, I am lost. Like, we'd never met before, but there was just something in that encounter and something in that moment that her heart just opened up. And I said, oh, wow, I know about being lost. Come sit on the couch. And we sat on the couch and we just had this amazing one-off conversation where she said, I just feel so lost. I don't know what I'm doing in my life. And I said, isn't it amazing, you know, that you've come along to a church today? And she said, you know, I feel really drawn to churches. I love to come to churches. And I said, well, you know, Jesus in the Bible, he says that he came for the lost, like he came for you. I said, maybe it's like you're hearing him calling you in your spirit. Oh, she just lapped it up. I mean, I have no idea where she went. I have no idea in the world where she is, but God knows. And it was just this beautiful moment because I had the courage to just ask some normal questions. How often do we not even approach a stranger and just ask ordinary, old, normal questions? What do you do? Who are you? What do you get up to? You have to be a wee bit creative about this, just a wee sidebar. I've often been a woman on my own because my husband wanders off and talks to people other places and stuff like that. So I've often gone into churches and groups on my own, and people do not speak to women on their own, I have discovered. And I think part of it is that we don't know, you know, what do we say, you know, hi, do you work? You know, are you married? Do you have children? Like, those are all awkward questions. What if we ask the wrong question? Be a bit creative. Do a bit of work on this, guys. There are questions you can ask that leave it open. I say to people, what do you get up to during the week? They can tell me whatever they like. You know, are you in paid work? Or do you work around the home? Like, what kind of stuff do you do? It's an open question. Think about some good questions that you could ask a total stranger and not feel an absolute idiot. And not make them feel an idiot. Okay? Because that's what I discovered. People particularly, my husband turns up, we're a couple. Oh, good, we know what questions to ask. They ask him what work he does and they ask me how many children we've got. Come on, let's get a bit more creative, guys. Why not ask me what kind of paid work I do and him about the kids? Anyway, that's just a wee sidebar, a wee thing I've got. So I had this other amazing experience where we actually went to this outdoorsy service and Mick was speaking and I was just hiding in the back row as usual. And so people kind of knew that we were recently from Auckland. And this woman, she said to me, oh, hi, you know, I came from Auckland a few years ago. I know that it's, you know, it's hard to be new. And I thought, good on you for coming to talk to me. And she said, well, you know, we should do coffee sometime. She didn't normally hang out in churches and places like that, but she'd come along with a friend. And so I said, yeah, that'd be good. And she gave me her number, and I made contact with her. Yes! I texted her and said, let's do that coffee. And we did. We had coffee. And then I said, you know, I found out what we had in common, and she was really into, you know, like home decorating stuff. And I said, oh, come round and help me with my colours on my walls. There's a whole lot of just ordinary, interesting stuff that we can connect with people on. You just got to keep asking questions till you find it. So she came round and we talked about paint colours and then she kept coming back and, you know, we made a friendship. And you know, there's another thing that I've really learnt that's so important is that right at the beginning of any relationship, you're really just upfront about the fact that you're a follower of Jesus. It's so important. Don't make it this embarrassing thing that you kind of drop into a conversation later on. Right at the beginning, like, this is just who I am, guys. Maybe it's a bit weird to you, but that's just who I am. You know, like, we can be a bit weird. You just say, you know, well, you might think that's a bit weird, but this is what I do. I mean, people said, why did we come to Whanganui? So many people ask that. Well, I just said, well, it's a bit of a God thing, really. It's a bit of a weird story, but we just really felt like God, you know, thought it was a good idea. And, you know, people are kind of fascinated, actually. But use some language that doesn't sound too crazy. But own your weirdness. Anyway, I was telling this woman, who was not a follower of Jesus, some God stories. And I said to her, you know, look, I was up in Auckland recently and with my grandson who just turned 3, and when he turns 3 on his birthday, his parents have always said that he has to let go the dummies, you know. So I said, we gathered up, I was telling you this hilarious, so we gathered up 20 dummies. I don't think we even found them all. But we gathered up 20 dummies and we attached them to a helium balloon and we went down to the park. This is a really good idea, guys. And we sent them up to God for all the new babies. Isn't that a good idea? I'm not sure if it's good for the environment. Sorry about that, guys. But anyway, we sent them up to God, and, you know, and I said, you know, isn't it amazing? I just, you know, God up there. And she said, she just suddenly, it was one of those moments again. You just never know when the moment's going to hit. You know, I'm just telling a crazy story. And she's just like, I want to talk more about God. I'm like, oh, okay. I said, how would you like to do that? And she said, wow. She said, the Bible, my father gave me a Bible when I was 15. What does it say? Well, there's a big question for you. What does it say, guys? What does it say? Now, fortunately, I had done some good work. This is some work we all need to do, some of that cerebral work. Because what I have learned is that we have really got to figure out what it is that this whole message is all about in language that someone's going to understand. And we sat down week after week And we went through the Bible. We started off with Genesis 1. And as we read Genesis 1 about how God created the earth and all the rhythms of nature, she looked outside and the tears poured down her face. She said, oh, wow. I mean, people haven't read this stuff. They haven't heard this stuff. It's pretty cool stuff. So we worked through to that moment when we were talking about who Jesus is. And she fell into the arms of God. And she now has a relationship with Jesus. It all started back having coffees and ordinary, normal stuff and just grasping those special moments. It's been a very special relationship. I have another woman I met that I meet a lot of people through pottery. So I'm now the president of the pottery club. Which has been an entirely unexpected journey. You know, I mean, who ever knew I was going to be a potter? It's so fun. But that is my context for getting to know people. And I meet all sorts of people and we have all sorts of fascinating conversations. Because right from the start, I've been super upfront. This is who I am. I'm a follower of Jesus. And I was talking to this young woman and she was talking about the struggles in her life and the struggles with her marriage, and here's a tragedy. And she said, you know, I've really been searching for some years, and I went along to a Baptist church. She said, but it was awful. She said, I couldn't understand what they were saying. There was all this stuff, and it seemed to be all about men, and it just completely turned her off. Let's think about our words, guys. Let's think about the stranger in the room and how it all comes across to them. Are they really hearing the right message? And so I had this bite-sized moment to say, well, look, this is what this whole God thing means to me. This is what I think God is up to in the world. And she really listened, and we have become very close. Now, she wanted to talk to me the other day about something else she's struggling with, and it's her sex life. And at the end of that conversation, she said, I feel like you really get me. Now, I didn't tell her about what the Bible says, because that's not where she's at right now. But I listened, and I understood, and I heard the agonies of her heart and her struggles. May we be those people to our neighbours. So I've had lots of amazing encounters, particularly in the last 5 years, as I have absolutely given myself over in a new way, even more, to being a neighbour, to just walking towards people, to being more of that runner. I'm still, you know, like, don't ask me to a party, I'll go, but it will be a struggle for me. But I have made such good progress, and it has been such a joy and a delight to me to spend time with people who don't know Jesus, to have the opportunity to share life, just ordinary life, and about the God life, and about what God's really saying, what he's really up to, and what he longs for. Because my heart does break for the people who are lost, who maybe live right next to you, who don't even know who you are, who know nothing about Jesus. But who, do you know what's going on in their home, in their life? Do you know about their agonies, their heartaches, their loneliness? Have you taken the time to find out? Take up this challenge, guys. If there's anybody who has a right to say, you know, I have every excuse in the book not to do this stuff, I'm that person. It is not my personality. It is not my gifting. It's not who I am. Put me in front of a crowd, but don't leave me in a room with one person. You know? So I know that you can do this work. I know that you can discover who you really are and become amazing with other people, amazing with your neighbours. Your life will be so rich when you do this stuff. But I know all the excuses in the book and I've used them. Just get out from behind those excuses, guys. Just let them all go and start some hard work, because the world is dying and lost. Your neighbours need you. Can I just pray for you? Lord God, I've just tried to share my heart and my experience this morning. But you know each person here. You know who they are. You know what their struggles are. You know who you long for them to be and how you long for them to blossom and grow. Holy Spirit, come upon us. Come upon us in your power to transform us, to enable us to be the people we do long to be, Lord, people who are lovers of others, people who are genuine and authentic and real, that people feel noticed when we're around, that they feel understood when we're around, that they feel embraced, but they also have the opportunity to feel enlightened by your truth. Lead us and guide us in this hard journey, in your wonderful name, and for the sake of the lost, Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. I'm not sure how we are for time, but maybe just have a chat amongst yourselves about what you thought about that. Anything that you thought was helpful or that you identify with, you might say, well, you know, you're not that person, but I reckon there's a few people like me in here. So go for it, have a chat, and let's see what you came up with out of that. Thanks.